Welcome to Curmudgeon's Corner. It is Tuesday, December 3rd, 2013, just after 3 UTC. I'm Sam Minter. Yvonne Bo is with me again. Hello, Yvonne.
Hello.
So let me start out with just a quick bullet list of things we are not going to talk about this week. Things we are not going to talk about. We're not going to talk about Obamacare. We're not going to talk about the China moon mission. We're not going to talk about Apple's antitrust protesting thing. We're not going to talk about the fact that for over 20 years in the 80s, the nuclear launch codes were all zeros. We're not going to talk about the FDA looking to shut down 23andMe, which is the genetic testing thing. And we're not going to talk about the NSA, the latest NSA revelations where they are spying on people's porn habits to use it to discredit potential terrorists or advocates of whatever. Yeah, so we're not going to talk about any of those things. The agenda we do have for today... first of all, and I don't know anything about this, so it could be incredibly boring, but Yvonne said that apparently he had, like, an interesting day. So we're going to talk about Yvonne's interesting day. Then I was going to just give a quick update. I have attempted to, I started the process of trying to get the $20 worth of Bitcoin I mentioned a while back, so we might as well talk about Bitcoin again for a few minutes. And then there's holiday shopping, because, of course, you know, 'tis the season and all that. And then finally, related to the holiday shopping, a certain major e-commerce company announced a couple days ago now that they're doing some research on delivering packages with drones. And I won't have much to say about this, but Yvonne might. And that's the show. That's the plan. It's very exciting. If you're interested in any of those things that we're not talking about, I've tweeted links to articles about most of them, so go have fun. We're also not going to talk about the comet that went around the sun. I also tweeted about that.
There's a comet that went around the sun?
Yeah, well, yeah, there was a comet.
Okay.
It happens all the time, but this one went really close.
Yeah, I know. We're not going to talk about it.
I have no idea. Yvonne, you had something happen to you today
mentioning? Well, here's the thing, right? Sam has known me for a long time, and I'm a pain in the ass about taking care of my car, okay?
You don't even have to finish the sentence. You can just stop with, I'm a pain in the ass.
Yes, absolutely, okay? But specifically about my car at this point, okay? I used to rip apart Sam at some of the things. I would climb into Sam's car, and it was just... I mean, it was disgusting. I mean, I don't know how the hell that thing... any vehicle that's ever...
I have gotten better, by the way.
I haven't seen your car in years, and by the way, you did get better as I knew you.
It's probably not pristine up to your standards by any means, but it's certainly not like it was when I was in college.
One day, I'm riding with Sam in his car, and Sam decides to, like, take a cup that he had and stuff it into his cup holder. Unbeknownst to me, that his cup holder was, like, filled with a couple of inches of soda, which... At that moment, decided to just splash all over the car.
Well, and the reason, of course, was because there'd previously been a cup in the cup holder with soda in it, and the soda had eaten through the bottom of the cup.
Correct. That it was just displayed all over the place. So anyway,
I should mention as well that I was very proud at one point that I had some Kraft Singles cheese that I had kept in the trunk of my car for about 8 years.
I remember that. And, you know, apparently those are very, very well full of preservatives.
Yes.
I like them.
Yeah.
Okay.
All kinds of other things in my car.
All right.
That's not the point.
So
listen,
for the last few weeks, I had noticed that the battery in my car was dying. And I was being, I have no idea why, stubborn about taking it to get a new battery. Okay.
Because it's a pain in the ass.
It's a pain in the ass, but let's face it, I was off all last week. I had the time to go, and I actually said I'm going to go one of these days last week, over, you know, before Thanksgiving, and I'm going to go, like, change the battery. Well, you know what? I didn't do it, all right? So last week, I parked a car, Wednesday, I think, and over the weekend, because, you know, we're riding with a baby, we're doing stuff and whatever.
You were in another car, you never went in your car.
Never went into the car. So today in the morning, I'm going to go to the office, so I get ready this morning, and I go to get in the car, okay, and car opens up. Now, when I hit this, my car has a start button, okay, all right? And the thing is that my car is not, when you hit the start button, it's not like a key that you keep have to keep doing it. It's just a button that sends, and the car will just do the starting procedure by itself, okay, all right? So when I hit the button, the car all of a sudden goes, and started up. And it was just, but it really like convulsed to do it. Okay. All right. And I'm like, oh shit. And all of a sudden the electronics on my screen flash zero, reflash on. I'm like, oh boy. And then the first thing that lights up is your power system is not working. You may drive the vehicle, but you will have no power assist. And I'm like, okay. And I'm like, I think about this and I'm like, well, maybe if I turn off the car and turn it back on, that warning will go away. But then I thought, well, if I probably turn off the damn car and try to turn it back on, it won't fire up again. So I go and I say, well, screw this. I can't go to the office. I gotta go to get this fixed. There's no way about it. So I go and I pull out the car with no power steering, pretty heavy. Okay, all right, wheel. I had not realized, you know, in a while how heavy the wheel is. So I go and I get on the highway and I head over to the dealership, okay, all right, which is a little bit of ways. So I'm heading over there and I decide I'm going to take a shortcut, all right, because I'm going to go through this
that
place.
That always, you know, a story is going to end well when it starts with,
you know, I'm going to take the shortcut and that way I'm going to get there and, you know, I'm going to avoid most of the traffic. I won't have to get on I-95, which a bumper to bumper Monday morning after a holiday is going to be a pain in the ass. I'm going to go through all this other place. All right. So I'm going through the shortcut and I'm about 2 miles from the dealership. All right. When all of a sudden, as I'm about to come across, there's a railway track, and all of a sudden I see the red flashing lights, bing bing bing, warning. Now a car besides me decides to beat the barrier, right? And a truck that was in front of me almost tries to beat the barrier. Okay, all right. Now,
you know, that's one of the stupidest things you can possibly do.
I agree, which is why I did not choose to do that. Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay. So the pickup truck got through. Okay. All right. And beat the barrier before it came down. The truck almost got hit by the barrier. It actually, it stopped, you know, that its nose was like under the barrier and the trucker had to back up to get out of the way of whatever oncoming train was supposed to come. Okay. So, okay. So all of a sudden, like, barrier comes down. I'm first in the line. I'm sitting there waiting. Train comes along. It's moving like at 1 mile an hour. Okay. I mean, literally. It's just then it like crawls and then the locomotive right in front of me just stops. And I'm like, okay, what the hell? All right. So locomotive goes and moves a couple of hundred feet forward, stops again. I'm like, okay. Locomotive backs up. Locomotive moves forward, backs up, moves forward. 45 minutes of, and I keep like, of the freaking locomotive, it's only 10 cars.
Uh-huh. Can you see both ends, or is it doing something with one?
Yes, I could see the damn end, okay? But the son of a bitch would not go and clear the traffic. Now, this is a major thoroughfare, okay, in downtown Fort Lauderdale. Back traffic had been backing up for miles, okay, on either direction. And this guy couldn't give a shit about this, okay, all right? He just kept going a little bit back, a little bit forth, for 45 minutes of
this
shit. Well,
presumably this actually served some sort of purpose, even though it's invisible to you.
Guessing that it did, okay, all right, purpose that I have no idea, but, you know, that apparently, you know, a couple, you know, I'm going to say at least 1,000 people were, like, ready to kill this guy, all right, okay, because I'd been through there, I mean, I don't know, I've been through that road, I don't know, hundreds at least, if not thousands of times, I'm going to say, and I'm probably not, you know, when I at least have been 1,000 times through that street, and I've never seen this, I mean, as a matter of fact, I don't recall ever having had to stop at that railway track before, okay? All right, for an oncoming train. Okay. So anyway, so this goes on, right? So I get to the dealership and I'm like, I get to the dealership, great, whatever. I'm like, before I finally get in, well, we're very busy, whatever. You know, so just wait and we'll get somebody to help you when we're done. So I go, great, all right. Well, I was like, well, I brought my laptop and whatever. I'm gonna sit down, I'm gonna get to work. Open my laptop, it was on standby for a week.
No battery.
No charger.
And you didn't bring your plug.
No, and I didn't bring my plug. Okay, so I'm like, for God's sakes, I'm like, just beautiful, just kill me like
so
right
then
now.
You tried to use your phone and your phone died too.
No. My phone was okay, but you know, there was a couple of things that I wanted to get done, honestly, that I needed my laptop to get done. Okay, all right, and I'm like, screw it. Well, I guess I'll just make a couple of calls. I'll just sit here for a little bit. And, you know, finally, after like about 45 minutes of this, you know, another half hour, they took my car. They said, oh, yeah, you know, the valet parked a car and they try to fire it up so it doesn't start. I'm like, well, that's good that I didn't turn it off then along the way. Yeah. I don't know. We're very busy here. They gave me a loaner car and they sent me on my way. So I grabbed the loaner car and I got to the office and finally, but you know, let's face it, I've been off all last week. And so what I managed to do is on Monday, first day back to work, I managed to get to the office like at 11 a.m. All right. Not really, you know, the best way to start off the first day after I came on vacation. So I go and I take care of stuff or whatever. Now, the thing is that for whatever reason, my son has been coughing since like yesterday. All right. I don't know why. Bottom line is, I talked to my wife a couple of times on the phone or whatever about this. So today they call me up on the phone. They tell me my car's not going to be ready today. So I'm driving around this car that I actually I didn't post a picture on Twitter. I was going to. It's a very blue car, Sam. I mean, this thing is like, I don't know. It's like it looks like a Viagra pill is what it looks like. Okay, all right, all right. That's all I can describe it. And it's shaped in that way. It's a hatchback. Okay, all right. Mm-hmm. It's just okay. So anyway, I'm driving this thing around. So I go and I get home and my son is still coughing up a storm. He hasn't like let up. I don't know what the heck. So I asked my wife today, did you give him the medication? No. I'm like, okay, all right. So first thing I had to do is like, I had to do one of those old Buterol inhalers.
Yeah.
So I had to give him that and put some stuff in his room and whatever. And I'm actually watching him on the screen. Actually, his cough went away with that. So bottom line is that within all that mess and the loaner car and the thing and the other thing and having to stop whatever, it was just, you know, I mean, for a day that was like after like supposedly no vacation, it was just a mess. It was just, seeing this damn train, like, you know, in front of me, like for 45 minutes where I'm like looking at this and I'm like, really, dude? I'm like, really? Really? I mean, you know, So basically, yeah, I'm still no, my car, I they called me very late and said that the car is fixed. It was just a battery and actually they took care of something else, but it's been my day. It's just not really the way I really kind of planned it, you know? So yeah, that's...
Well, before we move on, I'll briefly say my thing, and I mentioned this on Twitter too, but like, you know, I divide my days into, you know, UTC days just for my convenience and tracking stuff. But like last, I'll translate into local time. Sunday night, it had been a relatively busy day, I guess, or whatever. So my son, Alex, actually falls asleep at like 6 p.m., which is incredibly early for him.
Yeah.
Usually 6 p.m. He's been getting a little bit earlier because the new school, we have to get him there a couple hours earlier than when we were getting him to the other school usually.
Yeah,
so
but 6 p.m.
So, but like the new school, at the old school, we usually got him there between 9 and 10 o'clock. The new school, he needs to be there like 8:30. So it's a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
So he's been getting a little bit earlier in the evenings too. So instead of like going to bed at the same time we do, like close to midnight, he's going to bed. He is falling asleep at like 9 or 10. But on Sunday night, he fell asleep at like 6.
So what time did he wake up?
So I was like, okay, awesome. So I got out my work laptop, And I started doing stuff for work because I'd been meaning all weekend to catch up on a bunch of stuff I was behind on and blah, blah, blah. So I basically worked from 6 p.m. to midnight, actually a little past midnight to like almost 1. I was working on stuff from work. I was all
And I noticed that you tweeted that you were up like a 2 in the morning.
Yeah, yeah. So I finally closed up work stuff at like almost 1 in the morning. And then I started getting ready to go to bed, but I couldn't sleep. So it took me a while till I finally like went to sleep.
Right, you were riled up doing all this stuff.
I was riled up, I got a bunch done. I was excited. I'm like, yay, I got stuff done. And so then I finally get to sleep around 2 in the morning. And of course, he went to bed at 6 p.m.
At
4:30 in the morning, he's in my bed waking me up. Because he wanted to play. He's like, I'm ready for my day. So So the first thing I do is like, you know, I'm like, you want to play with the iPad? And
yeah, and, here. Take and the
he's
iPad.
Like,
here.
He's like, no, I want you to play with the iPad.
Oh God.
and I'm because there are a couple games lately that he likes watching me play. And I'm like, no, look, I'm early. I want to sleep like. At least another hour here.
Hour, right? At least, please.
At least for another the love hour.
Of God.
and so I'm like, look, you can use the iPad, but I want to sleep a little bit more. And he starts bawling. He's incredibly. he feels like devastated that I've done this to him, you know? So of course I give in. I play like 5 minutes of this game with him. And that seems to satisfy him. And so he takes the game and he's playing then. And then like 15 minutes later, he wants a drink of water.
Oh boy.
And he wants me to go downstairs and get it for him, of course. And so anyway, the long and short of this is, you know, I had to actually be up at, you know, I actually had to leave with him for school at like 8 or something. So I really didn't need to be up until 6:30-ish to like start getting ready in order to get him to school on time. So I had a couple more hours there, and he sort of let me sleep in that he woke me up about every 15 minutes for one thing or another that he wanted. You know, he did let me sleep in between the 15-minute segments. But then, so we finally got him up, went to school. And then, like, and then I started my regular work day. And I didn't have any meetings or anything. So I worked from home today, which was great because it saves me, like, a two-hour commute.
Well, thank God.
Yeah, and also, I just generally, like, if I haven't had, like, a decent night's sleep, I'll take the bus or something instead of driving because I don't want to be like doing hour plus commute on no sleep.
Agreed.
That's just not safe.
No, that's I totally agree.
And so anyway, so then I started my regular work day and I worked all freaking day long too. So I ended up from 4 p.m. to on Sunday to 4 p.m. on Monday. I ended up doing just under 14 hours of work, which is like my most productive day in like a long time. But I had 2 hours of sleep in that time period. and then my mom's internet was out, and I I'm like, okay, after I pick him up from school, we'll go over there and I'll take a look. Of course, can you guess what was wrong with her internet?
Power plug was pulled.
The cable modem was not plugged in. Yes.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Ah, Jesus.
It's because her time capsule, the backup Apple backup thing, was being flaky, and so I had her checking the plugs for that. And when she was checking that, she unplugged the other thing. It turns out her time capsule is dead. So, we'll see. That might be a Christmas present coming up, a new time capsule. But although I've got an old one around here somewhere, I'm going to see if it still works. But anyway, yeah. So then that was my day, and now it's time for the podcast.
And now it's time for the podcast, which we're here, and we're still clicking. I mean, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I woke up. What time? I went to sleep. Well, I went to sleep like at midnight. I got up at 6:30. So I slept 6.5 hours. That's not that bad.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So, anyway, that's enough of our personal bullshit for the beginning of the show. We'll take a break. We'll be back, and we'll talk about what was our first topic?
Bitcoin.
Bitcoin. Oh yeah, Bitcoin. So it's actually a few more minutes of personal bullshit, but and a little bit about.
Well,
Bitcoin.
But no, but it's our
because we can talk. You know, it's gone up and down a little bit more. We'll be back after this.
Ready for the test, Dracula?
I'm ready, Frankenstein. Then let us begin.
Creepy Classic celebrates the classic horror and science fiction films from the silent era through the 1960s, and retro TV horror from the 1950s to the 1970s. Visit creepyclassics.com for all your classic video needs. And when you buy something, tell Ron that the curmudgeons say hello.
And we're back. The one thing I just wanted to mention on Bitcoin, and we can talk a little bit about the pattern a little bit about what's been going on here. But a couple weeks ago, I said, okay, what the hell? I this is a gamble, but you know, I spend $20 on a lottery ticket when it's really high, so I'm willing to spend like $20 on Bitcoin just to see. And just to say I've done it, you know, and after all, that one guy bought like $30 of Bitcoin and it ended up being worth $1 million a few years later.
Yeah.
You know, and what the hell? You know, I can buy $20 worth and forget about it. 800,000.
Let's not inflate the number. It was 800,000.
It was 800,000. But the point was, if he'd held on to that 800,000 three more weeks, it would have been several million.
Yes.
And he actually didn't sell all of it. He only sold like half of it. So he's still making out.
Well, okay, so bottom line is you were going to do, line, so as our consumer research, which we do in the show.
Yes. So I went to Mt. Gox.
Mt. Gox.
Which is like the sort of premier Bitcoin exchange, blah, blah, blah. There are a whole bunch of them out there, but this is the one that tends to get the most press. And I'm like, okay, I'll open an account. So I opened an account, and I'm like, okay, that was pretty easy. I filled out, creating the initial account was really easy, but then immediately it tells you that in order to actually do anything with the account, anything at all, you have to quote unquote verify the account. You have to sort of prove that you are you. So what does this entail? This entails you scanning and sending them pictures of photo ID and proof of residence. So like a utility bill or something.
Okay.
And so the first thing I'm like is, okay, you know, do I really trust these guys with this kind of information? Like, this is the kind of personal information that people tell you to be hold fairly close, right? You're not just like scan it and email it to some random website that trades in Bitcoins, you know? But I'm like, okay, what the fuck? I'll do it. Okay. So okay. I scanned my driver's license. I scanned, like, I forget what it was, a phone bill or a utility bill or something, whatever, you know, something that had my address on it that proves I live where I live. And I think there might have been a third thing I had to do, too. But whatever. And so then you get to the end of this and you're like, okay, your verification request has been received. You'll get a response within 5 business days. So I'm like, okay, well, this isn't going to be as quick as I thought it might be here. I figured I'd be up
five
and running.
5 business days. I mean, talking about, I mean, what the hell? I don't understand. I mean, that much. I mean, Jesus, that much checking. I mean, for real. I mean, why are they looking for that much verification?
Well, I'll tell you. Well, the legal verification is undoubtedly just to cover their ass. But like I tell you, I believe the problem with the delay is not. They're doing some kind of deep checking because 5 business days later, I looked at the site again and it now said it will be reviewed within 10 business days.
So you think it's just a lot of people because there's so much.
I think because Bitcoin has gotten all this press, there are probably a whole bunch of people doing exactly what I just did, opening accounts, and they probably got one guy sitting there looking at these damn things. Mm. And so they're just backlogged. That would be my guess. But you know, who the hell knows? So then I'm looking at it now and it still says you'll be reviewed within the 10 business days. It's got to be just about 10 business days right now. 'Cause I did this right after we finished recording our show 2 weeks ago.
And you still don't have an account.
So, as actually, if I don't know if these guys are U.S.-based, so maybe they're a couple more days because of the holiday. I don't know. But we've got to be close to the end of the 10 business days. And I'm not yet verified. But after I'm verified, before I can do jack shit, I still have to tie it to a funding mechanism. So I have to do that thing where I give them my checking account information so that they can do the ACH transfers or whatever. And they'll probably make me do that thing where, you know, you withdraw like two amounts that add up to a dollar or something.
Yeah, so you can couple of cents. Yeah. Actually, I've had like 1 cent, 2 cent, whatever.
Yeah. Something like that. And that usually takes several more days because you have to wait for that to show up on your other account. And because there are different funding options, I should say. If you've got some other, if you've already got bitcoins, you can fund it through bitcoins. You can do it through bank transfers, or you can redeem some kind of code or whatever. But like, you know, I've got my money in the bank. I don't already have Bitcoin. So I have to do the bank thing. So we got the 10 business days here. And then I'm going to have to do the bank thing, which will probably be 3 or 4 more days before that's set up. And then I'll be able to move my stuff. And then I'll probably find out, of course, that there's probably like a $20 transaction fee or more.
Okay. So
like 20 bucks may be stupid.
So this is quite complicated. Okay, all right. You still have not been able to accomplish.
I'm trying to remember here, like, how did this compare to, like, opening up a brokerage account?
Well, it's certainly a lot faster for me doing a brokerage account. I mean, I remember opening a brokerage account. I mean, I went to an actual bricks and mortar branch.
Well, see, this is the thing. I've done it online.
And I showed up and I got it done inside an hour tops.
Well, it wasn't even that. I opened a brokerage account online once. I had to do a lot of these same kind of hoops. Because, you know, they had to verify that it was me. They had to do this. You had to set up the transfers with the bank. So I don't know that this is all that. I mean, I think it's longer than it should be. Like, I can see a couple days. But, like, this is, in the end, this is going to take me, like, 3 weeks from the moment I thought of this.
Well, the reason I was saying it is, like, you know, forget about, here's the question I've got about this. Because I started looking a little bit into this a couple of weeks ago. But then I went to this one website and I got really no answers. Okay? So why don't we just mine Bitcoin, Sam?
Oh, because it takes a lot of computing power and it's a pain in the ass to do.
Okay, well, why don't we just buy the computing power? I mean, if they're worth so much, I mean, how much computing power are we talking about?
Well, enough so that you kind of, if you ran it in the background on your computer, like the old SETI at home thing, it would take you years to get a single Bitcoin.
Really? That much?
I believe so. Well, the thing is, the way the Bitcoins were structured, the first Bitcoins were really, really easy and happened really, really fast. But the more Bitcoins are mined, each Bitcoin is harder than the Bitcoin before it.
So if I buy, say, I go and I get one of these, I'll buy a new Mac Pro, and I dedicate it to fucking mining a Bitcoin. Really?
The calculations I've seen so far, and this may have changed as the Bitcoin value has gone up, but... Yeah, I'm sure this has changed now that the Bitcoin value has gone up. I remember reading a while back that it was barely break even over the electricity costs to run the machine, but that's going to be very different with the prices where it is now. So it's probably going to be worth your while, and certainly there are people who do this. There are people who buy a whole bunch of computers and just set them up sitting there mining Bitcoins. Or they buy cloud computing resources and set them up to mine Bitcoins. Or what I saw just the other day, there was a company that was getting a lot of flack because they did one of these toolbar things that you could install that would do various functions. And guess what? In the background, it was mining Bitcoins for them, for everybody whose computer it got installed on.
Nice.
But the problem is it was putting enough resources onto mining the Bitcoins that it noticeably slowed down people's computers. it was all in their terms of services. They had something in the terms of services that basically said they could do this. But of course, people don't read those.
Right.
But anyway, yeah, you can certainly mine Bitcoins. The thing is, the amount of effort it takes to mine a Bitcoin is increasing, and each Bitcoin is harder than the Bitcoin before it. So you have to if you're going to do that, you have to be willing to do some initial outlay to get there in the first place.
Well, fine. Tell me, listen, my point is, if I go and I cluster $10,000 worth of servers in my frickin' house right now, frickin' start, firing this fucker up and just saying, I just want this frickin' thing mining Bitcoins. Are you going to tell me I'm not going to be able to make a few of these fuckers? It's going to take that long?
You probably will be able to make a few of them. And again, I don't know what the price ratio, what the value proposition is given the current price. The more the price goes up, the more lucrative it's going to be to mine the Bitcoins. But the more people are doing it, the harder it becomes to do it because each one is harder than the one before. There's also a maximum number. There's a certain point at which there will be no more Bitcoins to mine. The way the currency is set up, and I forget what the number is. You can look it up on the Wikipedia page, I'm sure. But there is a maximum number that once you get to that Bitcoin, there are no more. It's done. It's at that point a fixed amount of currency in circulation.
You know, this is just absolutely just, because of that setup, which I did not realize that at that limitation, you do realize that this basically could just create a massive, ridiculous bubble. Yeah. I mean, because it's a fixed amount. I mean, with fiat currency for everybody, we could print all the money you want. Okay, so it could. I mean, oh my gosh, wow! I didn't realize that you had that effect. That's okay. Wow.
And so the other thing I mentioned, of course, when we talked about this 2 weeks ago, the price was around $700. It was moving around a lot even while we were recording.
It's gone through over 1,000.
It went up past 1,200, back down under 1,000. It's back. The live quote right now is just under $1,100. And this is where we talked about like the, as a speculative investment, awesome. As currency, not so much. But, in the end, all you care about is, unless you're going to park large amounts of money in the currency, you don't actually even care what the exchange rate is, as long as at the moment you want to make a transaction, you can transfer from dollar to Bitcoin and get what you want to buy quickly and easily. And people have pointed out, of course, that the main thing that people want to buy is, of course, illegal stuff because of the traceability. But it could conceivably apply to anything.
I mean, I'd want to buy. I mean, I don't know if I. I mean, I, you know, when the price is surging that much, I mean, I think a lot of people are just want to buy anything. To be honest with you, not just something illegal. Right. I mean, let's face it. If you bought, $10
The speculators don't want to buy anything. They want to buy some. Hold on to it for a couple weeks and cash out,
right.
And then repeat when they think it's in a dip,
Right.
Because it's all about playing the price. It's not about any intrinsic value of anything or using it to purchase or whatever.
I gotcha.
So anyway, I'm like, hey, I could have got if this stupid Mt. Gox thing had been quicker, I could have got in at 600, but now it's like 1,200. But whatever, it doesn't matter. I'm going to buy $20 worth whenever this all finishes. I might go up to $50. Go up to 50. But no more than 50. and of course there are a whole bunch of other alternative currencies still, but this one has the biggest volume out there at the moment. I don't know. As we said, if you and I had both bought the first time we ever talked about Bitcoin on this show and held it, we'd both be very happy right now. But, I know people who did.
So. Well, I can't win every time. Okay, listen, I bought Apple stock.
You always talk about your Apple.
So, true. I got to have something to hold on to. I mean, what do you want me to do? I mean, listen, my point about that is, there's so few opportunities that you could ever latch on to. You go like make a mega book like this. I mean, it's not, you know, I mean, look, even like right now, for example, let's just say this. I actually have been putting money into real estate at the bottom of the market. Okay. Yeah. I bought a couple of things. Listen, I did buy one place that 18 months ago that doubled in value since I bought it. Okay.
No, not bad. Not bad.
Not exactly bad. But however, let's face it, a double in value still is a lot less than if I put that money into Bitcoin.
Yes.
I'd be probably taking you on a ride, and I'd be going saying, Sam, I'm gonna pick you up in the jet so we can do the show today. You know? Yeah. You know, I mean, yeah, but you know, what do you want me to do? I mean, if I were that good, I mean, yeah, you know, I didn't think about it back then, you know, yeah. I buy jet fuel with Bitcoin. Fuck it.
But
what the hell?
But you know, the whole thing with all of these stuff is, of course, hindsight is perfect. You know, because it could just as easily go to zero.
Exactly, which I've done. I bought enough. I mean, you know, going to other things. Believe me, I bought. Let me see. What stocks that I bought that I rode almost to I rode Vonage all the way almost to zero. Okay, all right. I bought two stocks. I will tell you that I fucking got killed. Okay, God, Vonage and Sirius Satellite Radio. I mean, I almost got murderized on both. Okay, all right. Rode them all the way down to fucking almost zero. Okay, so you know, win some, lose some. What do you want me to tell you?
Okay. Excellent. So anyway, I will continue to update. And I know a few of our listeners have done the Bitcoin thing, have bought and sold them. If you have any input on that, please send it our way.
We'd be very interested in getting.
I will proceed to go through this exercise to buy a very small amount. I just don't have the stomach for gambling any real money here. But to put a very small amount just to say I've done it. And my full intention is to buy and hold. I'm not going to, you know, do anything with it. I will buy it.
You're not going to move your entire 401k into Bitcoin.
I will not move my entire 401k. I will not start converting every paycheck into Bitcoin. I will not do anything like that. I'm going to buy a double digit amount of Bitcoin, not double digits of Bitcoin.
Well,
double
you're not
digits
planning
of dollars.
On retiring anytime soon. I mean, what the hell? Anyway, I will say this.
But my point is, I will continue to give updates on how much my $20 turns into. I'll be like, one day, I'll be like, Bitcoin goes to 5,000, and I'll be like, I have $100.
I will say this: that me being a lunatic. You know, if I actually could move my entire 401k into Bitcoin like right now, I would just for the hell of it. I mean, what the hell anyway? Fuck it. I would actually. But, you know, I don't have that option. Not easily anyway.
I feel sorry for your wife. Okay.
Or you may be like, you know, ask her to give you a share of the proceeds. Anyway, all right.
I'd be up for a deal where I got... Yeah, you know, I got the upside, but no downside. I'm
no
cool
downside.
With that.
You like that deal? Okay,
I like
there.
That deal.
Everybody loves
anyway,
that deal.
Anyway, if there's nothing else to say on this, it's time for another break.
Time for another break,
and we'll start talking about the big Christmas shopping season and associated things. We'll be back after this.
Bach.
Okay, we're back. So
we're back. We're
a Christmas
back
shopping. I'll say up front, my plan is to do the same thing I've done the last few years, which is first of all, presents only for essentially direct family, very small group of people. I used to have a much broader group.
You can't afford that shit anymore. I know. I hear you.
it's not.
It's just who do you, where do you stop? I know.
Yeah, it's where do you stop? But also, you know, like, there's only a very limited number of people that I actually have even the slightest clue what they might like or want.
Right.
You know, and if you go beyond that, like, okay, here's a gift certificate. I mean, I don't know. I'll probably give a gift certificate even to some of my close relatives, because some of my close relatives are insanely difficult when they come to this stuff. They won't give you any idea. They'll say, no, I don't want anything, blah, 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 and I don't need more stuff. And okay, I understand that, but the gift is not really for you. It's for me. It's for me giving it to you and getting some enjoyment out of the fact that I'm giving you something. You know?
For example, I'm one of those people that's very difficult to shop for. However, what I my family knows what I like in clothes, and they know that I don't like going to shop for clothes. So, for example, for Christmas, a lot of them buy me clothes.
Clothes is something thrilled. I would never even consider giving anybody.
Shirts, you know, they like to give me, for the most part, which I like, shirts. Give me shirts. You know, and they know what the type of shirts I like. My mom, my sister, my brother, they know what kind of shirts I like. Boom. I'm like, I'm gold. You give me shirts. The time that you saved me in my life for me having to go to the mall in those shirts, that you took the care to pick out some shirts that you know I would like, I'm like, oh, my God. Thank God. Holy Moses. It's like the best thing that Eric could do. So I'm like thrilled with that. Or, I mean, you know, I did put in my Amazon wish list the Sony 4K.
Oh, you have one again? Like,
yes.
Because I used to get you stuff from your Amazon wish list.
Well, I think that if I haven't
gotten you anything in like 6 years, so sorry, Yvonne.
No, that's perfectly fine, not a problem. But you know, if you chose to do that, I think I did put this 4K TV on my wish list. You know, yeah, I think it's only like, yeah. I did not put it on the wish list. Actually, I have some reasonable things on my wish list, as a matter of fact.
Well, I'm impressed.
There is apparently a pack of Gerber Graduate Puffs. Okay.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Some baby stuff.
Yes. Apparently my wife put a My Michelle Junior Maxi dress, which I think I would look great in. Okay. It's
in white. Of course.
And actually, the one that I put in here, I guess this is, if you look at, obviously, you look at the times, this is the most recent ad, okay, so it makes sense, a Logitech wireless solar keyboard for the Mac.
Wireless solar?
Yes. Yeah, and this is the reason, you as well, so I have been irritated about the batteries running out. That's exactly right. It's a very irritating thing. And I've also realized that because I do a lot of number crunching in Excel, the keyboard that I've got doesn't have a numeric keypad.
Right.
And so Logitech has a keyboard that not only is it solar powered, but it has a numeric keypad.
Very cool. So anyway, what I was saying is, for me, small group of people, and I've had the pattern that my goal is essentially from December 1st right up until Christmas Day, I get one thing a day. And it could be a really small thing, it could be a larger thing, but one thing a day for that small group of people over that time period. And I don't stick religiously to the one a day. I try to keep that pace, but sometimes I'll fall behind and then I'll catch up or I'll go a little bit ahead. But I try to essentially end up, you know, the Christmas is the 25th. I end up getting 24 or 25 things total for everybody. Some are only a couple bucks, some are bigger, but you know, that's my general plan that I've stuck to the last few years. And it's kind of worked okay. It spreads out my Christmas shopping, so I don't have like a day that I'm doing it. Also, for God's sake, and it's not just because of where I work. I buy everything online. I have for years and years. You have to pay me to get me into a mall between Thanksgiving and Christmas.
I gotta agree that I mean, we've tried to do a lot of our shopping online. There is certain shopping that we've gone in person to do. We have a mall that's very close. And we actually, you know, I don't know, just to get out of the house, we'll do that.
I hate the crowds. I hate the noise. I mean, I can handle it for a few minutes, but, like, I just generally don't like that environment. So, like,
we know Rain Man, but, you know,
I don't mind going to the mall, like, the rest of the year. But between Thanksgiving and Christmas, I just don't want to go there.
Now,
parking.
I will say this. Friday, okay, we did not go Black Friday shopping. What happened is that some friends of ours, we said, hey, why don't we go to the movies to go watch? Well, actually, I didn't suggest this because I really didn't give a shit about watching this movie. But somebody else suggested, hey, why don't we go to the movies? They said, hey, Hunger Games is out. Let's go watch it. Okay, all right. So I'm like, well, I couldn't really give a fuck about watching Hunger Games, but okay.
That would be Catching Fire.
Yeah, whatever.
It's not actually Hunger Games
2. Okay, it's the sequel to the stupid thing. Anyway, all right, yeah, whatever. Anyway, you know what
I'm ashamed that I know that.
Yeah, that's pretty good. Anyway, so the movie was pretty good. Okay, so not bad, except that the problem is that the damn thing, it's like, quite irritating because it really doesn't end. It's not a self-contained movie. All
right? Right, because it's part two of a three-part thing.
Well, I didn't fucking know this. I didn't read the books. Okay, so anyway, so I go to a fucking movie that now I gotta wait until the damn sequel comes out for me to find. Well, actually, I went online, I read what the hell happened because I was like quite irritated. I'm like, fuck this, I wanna know how the hell this thing ends. So we went to the movie. So we're driving down to this mall, and we went to a mall in actually not near where we live, but in Miami. This was at night already. I mean, we were catching a 9:30 showing. Okay, it was such a zoo. I mean, we got there like at 8:30 at night, and I mean, just the parking, just the process of it. And we went and valeted anyway because we saw the parker said, "Screw this."
Yeah, much as I say I avoid the malls, Amy had an Apple Store appointment for them to look at something on her laptop.
Okay,
and so of course the Apple Store's in a mall. And so she wanted me to go with her. You know, so I went on Saturday at 4:30 in the afternoon. And in the afternoon, the parking was bad, but not impossible. It took me like 10 minutes to find a spot or something, but not like crazy.
Well, that's not that bad. No, I mean,
The mall was incredibly crowded. There were lots of people running around, but it didn't feel as oppressive as it sometimes does, but it was still a madhouse.
Sam,
I imagine a few hours later, it would have been worse.
We had people yelling at us. We had people like honking at us to this level. Okay. This wasn't just, I'm not talking about just getting to the mall and being irritated about not fucking parking. I'm talking about people being aggressive. Okay. All right. And we're like going, Jesus Christ. I'm like, okay. All right. This is like scary a little bit. Okay. When we got there. I mean, so, but here's the thing. I still don't understand why all these fucking people are so desperate to go shopping on that fucking day.
Well, tell you, Brandy and Amy went to do the midnight Black Friday thing because
it's nuts.
And they said it wasn't actually that bad, but they had lines and they were. And I'm like, you guys go have fun. I'm staying home. I'm watching some TV. I'm kicking back.
I don't care how much money you really think you could save. It's just insane. Well,
and here's the thing. They weren't even speaking for Brandy and Amy here, they weren't really after like, oh, I'm going to get big deals. They were like, they're thinking of it now as an event, as because everybody does it.
I hate going shopping. Why would it really be that much more enticing for it to be more crowded and to be there with a whole bunch of idiots at the same time?
Exactly.
No, 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 not gonna happen.
I agree. And I have seen a few posts from people, by the way, and my family, I alluded to it earlier, several members of my family are big on the no, we don't want anything, don't give us anything, blah, blah, blah. A few of them have said, you know, instead of giving me something, if you really must do something, donate to charity instead. Okay, whatever. And I understand those feelings. I still like You know, I enjoy the process of figuring out stuff and giving things to a few of my close friends and family, you know? And so, I don't know, I have fun with it. I enjoy it, despite the sort of crass commercialism and whatnot. But yeah, I don't get the people who go absolutely nuts about it. I don't see, I mean, and I know some people enjoy shopping. I want to get in and out and do what I have to and no more.
I don't really enjoy it. I mean, it's like the other day, I needed I think it was Wednesday before Thanksgiving or Tuesday. I can't remember whether it was Wednesday or Tuesday, but I needed something. Okay, I needed actually. We just remodeled our kitchen, and we're very short people, me and my wife, uh-huh. And the higher kitchen cabinets are made for a normal American adult height, which we are not, so we can't get to the top cabinets, okay? Mm. So I needed a little step stool or something for the kitchen, all right? So I went shopping, and IKEA had one for – that was something that looked like cheap.
The little
like,
wooden one?
Yeah, $19.
Yeah, okay? We got all those. Right? We got okay. Two of those in the house.
Okay, so I went, and I was like, great, okay, let me go get one of those. It's $20, perfect, okay? But you don't go into IKEA. IKEA is never a fast shopping process.
Yeah, it's very specifically designed to make you go past everything.
Past everything, right. It's very irritating. It takes a long time.
There are shortcuts if you look for them.
There are shortcuts, but the thing is that I wanted to, first of all, I wanted to find where it was in the showroom. Okay, which took a while to find, and then the thing is that even beyond that, the item wasn't actually. Listen, I had to get help from an employee because the actual item was nowhere to be found. Okay, bottom line, at the end of the day, I go and I do this, and I did it on that day, and it was just, I mean, it was irritating on frickin'. Before Thanksgiving, it was irritating. I it's like, you know, I didn't want to do this then. I mean, the only reason I went is because I found the item I wanted. I had actually specifically $20 in cash to pay for it. Okay. So I said, screw it. I'm not spending any more money. I got $20 in cash. I got an item. I'm going, that's it. I'm done. That's the only thing. My wife goes and, I don't know, all of a sudden is coming out with three or four things, and I'm like, but where did you develop the need for all this other stuff? I mean, I've just walked through aisles and aisles and aisles of shit, and I had no urge to grab any of this stuff.
Meanwhile, your wife picked up a couch.
My wife picked up a thing and a thing, and I don't know. Anyway, bottom line, there's a whole bunch of stuff. I just can't do that. I know I'm not the norm, you know, but I can't do it.
I very much like the idea of not ever entering a store without a specific idea of exactly what I want to come out of that store in. And if I leave with anything that I did not plan on before I walked in the door, I'm upset at myself.
Absolutely. I'm with you. I agree. Anyway,
that's it. So we're going to take another break, and then Yvonne is going to talk about, because I'm going to shut the hell up, Yvonne's going to talk about a certain billionaire's plan to solve all your holiday shopping problems in the future. We'll be back after this.
AfricaFocus.org features high-quality analysis and progressive advocacy on African issues with a particular attention to priority issues affecting the entire continent. The heart of the website is the Africa Focus Bulletin. Other features include regularly updated Africa-related news feeds and a set of country pages with extensive background and links on each African country. If you follow African issues or are even curious, visit AfricaFocus.org today.
Because I've got a little spinning wheel of death right now, so give it a second.
Rolling, 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 ride. Rolling, rolling, rolling.
Okay, we're back. So, Yvonne, like, I've got a conflict of interest here that anybody out there can guess pretty easily. So, why don't you tell us about what's going on with this thing that...
Well, listen, all I know is, what the heck? I go on Twitter and I see all this stuff blowing up about a story that came out in 60 Minutes yesterday about Amazon. Okay, right? So I didn't really watch it. I didn't watch what was going on. But then I start hearing about the drones.
There you
drone
go.
Drone delivery. And this is all I'm hearing all morning in the news. I turn on Bloomberg, and they're talking about this. Twitter is going crazy about it. And then I get to the office, and I put the streaming video of CNBC to see what the hell's going on. And every like 10 minutes, they're showing this short. They made this promo clip for the 60 Minutes thing, where they just kept showing this drone dropping off a package in front of a person's house, and this guy walking out, picking it up, and going back in. And they showed this footage. I mean, Jesus, I swear to God, they must have shown it like about every 10. I mean, if they were showing it at least six times an hour, okay, today. All right. I mean, by this afternoon, I was ready to freaking kick the damn computer. It just like, for God's sakes, how many times am I going to see the stupid, like, drone footage? Okay. All right. Of the damn thing. So everybody all day was just absolutely just yakking and talking about, oh my God, drone delivery. Oh my God. What the hell? Oh my God. It's like, they're going to crash into my head. Oh my God. They're going to drop off the package into somebody else. Oh my God. I mean, and the whole thing has just been a whole damn, you know, Amazon drones are going to be flying all over and just, you know, they're going to be causing airplane crashes, and the FAA had a statement and everybody. And I'm just like, well, forget about the fact that, you know, your big boss is the guy that, you know, announced this. I mean, in terms of practicality of like having a world where little like flying drones are delivering stuff in major metro areas, I mean, I think I will say this. I mean, conceptually, I'm okay. All right. It's not that crazy. I mean, we have pizza delivery. We've got other stuff. We've got whatever, right? Okay. These people are having to drive around, you know, and there's a lot of accidents and there's other things and whatever. The cars consume a lot of fuel. I mean, if you could automate to a certain extent with certain practicality to do this, you know, I guess it would be okay. The thing is, of course, if you've got all these freaking buzzing drones going all over the place, I mean, I don't know how loud are these things, how irritating. I mean, I don't know. I guess that I could see a future where this is something that, in general, the concept of I mean, we keep talking about you talk about the flying vehicles, but look, I was talking about I can't remember what mentioned this, that in the future, I think that, for example, I think that by the time my son turns 16, probably he driving will be, if not completely automated, it's going to be so much automation into the system that, I mean, he's just for the most part going to be a passenger. Okay. That's basically like a little bumper car. Okay. That goes around and basically stops him from doing anything stupid. Okay. That's a reality where technology is. And the reality is that, on the other hand, if you take that concept and you take it all the way, whether it's a flying vehicle or it's a self-driving vehicle into the future, I mean, that's basically where we're going to right now. It is our future. I mean, I mean, I don't know if you agree, but I think that that's the driverless vehicle future. For a lot of things that happen right now, think about, for example, long-distance trucking, for example, that we move cargo. Trains. Listen, we just had this train accident up in New York, for example, where apparently a driver, the driver of a train, like, was going way too fast, 85 miles an hour, went, like, freaking, like, up and killed about 4 people. Yeah, in a 30 zone, right.
And something almost exactly the same thing happened in, I think it was France a few months ago.
In Spain. Yeah. In Spain. And I'm like, listen, we have the technology, so this shit doesn't have to happen.
Well, I mean, and we've talked about the same thing with aircraft as well.
Right.
That the modern passenger aircraft are fully capable of doing the entire flight by themselves.
Pretty much.
And in fact, most Not all the time, but almost all the major accidents that still happen end up being pilot error. And if you just let the computers do their thing, the plane would have been fine.
Well, an example.
That's not exclusively the case, but just
but recent, like, for example, just a recent example. There was a big one. There was an A330 from Air France that crashed on its way from Rio de Janeiro to Paris. Okay, and the bottom line was the pilots went and overrode the computers for some crazy reason, pulled a stick back and stalled the plane straight into the water. I mean, it was just against. And it was one of those things that it's the thing that you get.
And it's one of those things where the human was confused by various things that were going on in the environment, but the computer knew what the right thing was.
The computer was kept telling him what the hell the damn right thing to do, and the son of a bitch kept doing the wrong thing, completely the opposite of what he had been trained in flight school for his entire damn life that he'd been drilled into it. But for whatever the hell damn reason, he just did the opposite and went and fucking just crashed the plane.
Well, and I think just to speak to automation in general, because now that we're talking more generally, I think there most aspects of human life at this point that, you know, aside from leisure things and super creative things, are very susceptible to automation. You know, we've talked driving and piloting and package delivery and all this kind of stuff. We've, you know, the house cleaning stuff, you know, we've already taken baby steps with Roombas and stuff like this, but all of this stuff is very amenable to automation as the computing power increases and as technology improves. And so, yeah, I mean, you're going to see a lot of these things happen. And I mean, there are going to be impacts to the economy in general because, you know, more and more jobs that are currently done by human beings really don't need a human. You can imagine, for instance, like the service economy type stuff, fast food restaurants.
Right.
You could imagine the entire thing from making the food to delivering it to doing the payment to ordering. That could all be done by machine. You don't need a human being in there at all.
And that goes back a little bit into my you know, my concern with a lot of people in which look at as a society. If we create a society where a lot of people, a lot of these menial jobs are not needed, okay, the answer to that is that we don't create even further economic disparity. I mean, either we find other things for these people to do, or at least we need to provide them if what we're doing is making us as a society be far more profitable, then we have to give these people a freaking social safety net, because we're eliminating what the hell they're doing right now, creating a better planet, a safer one, et cetera, and so forth. So if they don't, I mean, if they need to be redirected into something else, or maybe there isn't a lot of work for certain people, well, shit, then we need to, you know, we can't just have them be idle, and we sure as hell can't have them be just in miserable poverty because we freaking by technology eliminated their job.
Yeah, I mean, every once in a while, and you know, there have been a number of stories in the news in the last few weeks against a whole bunch of different companies about working conditions and blah, 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 and this and that, and is the pay enough? And we talked about this with Foxconn, and there are other companies that have been in the news for it. You know, I look at this and say, okay, well, you do realize, though, in 10, 15, 20 years, none of these jobs are going to be done by human beings.
Right. And then what are we going to do? I mean, we can't, you know, just create an entire subclass of people that because they do manual labor don't have, you know, a way to support themselves.
Because, you know, no matter what you do, and people always talk about, you know, improving the education system, blah, blah, blah. You don't need 100% of the population to be physics professors.
That's right.
Or managers. You can't have 100% of the company.
Now, let me just say this. Okay. Now, granted, the reality is what we're talking is a dislocation, because as we have been as a society and we've done with all the technology changes that have happened over the last, I don't know how many hundreds, if not thousands of years, we found other endeavors in which to
yes,
do people.
Absolutely.
That's fine. We've always found those, and that's true. But the reality is that if you have a massive technology change, you may wind up with a significant dislocation of certain people that used to be doing something.
And what it usually takes is when those kinds of disruptions happen, it usually takes many generations for everything to adapt around that.
Right.
And even then, I mean, and you hear the stories of people, we went to school in Western Pennsylvania in the Pittsburgh area, and you kept hearing about people saying, well, you know, anytime now the steel mills are going to come back.
Not.
Yeah. When these things go away, they're very often gone forever. You know,
I mean, listen, look at, for example,
technology moves on. Yeah. You know,
look at,
the jobs
look at
move
Detroit.
On,
yeah. Look at Detroit, for example. The dislocation that's happened in Detroit, that's happened really – it was a slow process that happened over 50 years. But the reality is that where Detroit wind up losing, like, I think if I remember the number correctly, it was two-thirds of their population, okay, over the last 50 years. And basically the city just almost literally collapsed onto itself. I mean, it's something that – it's a change that happened over a very long amount of time. But like you said, people, oh, it's going to come back. No, it's not going to come back. No. No. I mean, people had to move. People have to change. They have to find other things to do because the reality is it's not coming back.
And very often, the people who are dislocated by such things, those actual individuals never get back to where they were.
No.
Their kids or grandkids might, but they don't.
But they don't. No, they don't. So I think it's important for as a society to recognize that we are creating that dislocation because what we're trying to do is create I think that, for example, if we do that kind of delivery, we do things where we do a lot of that automation. A lot of that automation helps the environment, helps the planet. It helps in a lot of general ways towards society. And you know what? I mean, we need to be cognizant of that, and we need to make sure that you know, we maintain a society where we don't create such massive disparities in terms of,
well,
like, people.
Because this is the thing. I mean, people have been talking about these sort of science fictional futures, you know, for a century now, if not longer, about how technology would make it so that we, you know, machines do all the work and all the humans have to do is sort of kick back and read and do plays and do fun stuff. And we all get lives of leisure. And, you know, hey, that would be an awesome world. I would love it if I could just kick back and do the things I want to do for fun and never have to actually work, and except the things that I was passionate about and wanted to work at. That would be awesome. But I think what you have to worry about with these kinds of scenarios is the easy road is not the road that leads to, you know, all of humanity living a life of leisure. The easy road is 95% of the population falling into a life of poverty, and the 5% that are left reaping all the benefits of all this technology.
And that's just not a good society. That's not a society I want to live in.
And maybe it won't be 95-5. Maybe it'll be 60-40. Maybe it'll be 70.
But even at 60-40, you know, no, but whatever. I mean, the reality is that we can't have a society that is the kind of shit that brings – that brings war, okay?
Yes. Because what happens there, whenever disparity between I want to say it's not just rich and poor; it's those with power and those without power. Whenever that gets too big, how does that get solved? Guess what? The people who are in the majority realize that, hey, they've got the power of numbers, and hey, revolution happens.
Exactly.
I'm not a big advocate of revolution here. I would much rather have some sort of peaceful transition into something that maximizes everybody's welfare as much as possible, you know?
Agreed. Totally agreed. And people need to be conscious. And the problem is, I think we have a lot of people in society that don't give a shit about that. They keep talking about people who, just because, for example, an industry got dislocated. Listen, you come up and you had maybe a high school education. You come from a family that didn't have a lot of educational opportunities. You wind up flipping burgers, you know, just trying to do that. Maybe do that the rest of your freaking life. I mean, for God's sakes, what did you choose that path? Listen, we didn't pick where the hell we were born. I mean, we had a lot of opportunities that a lot of people did not have. And we were fortunate with a lot of things. I mean, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying the people that are poor cannot go to that. But let's face it. The wheels were greased to make it easier for us to be able to get there. Okay? Mm-hmm. It was. Okay? I mean, I'm not going to go and, like, say that a person that, you know, came up from that upbringing and has not been able to, like, leave their town and, like, do stuff and whatever, become a millionaire, some kind of freaking slacker loser. That's just not reality. So.
Well, and let me say right up front here, I don't have solutions here.
Neither do I have a simple solution.
I'm not a believer in, you know, government mandated top down solutions to this kind of stuff. I'm also not necessarily feeling that, you know, unfettered, unregulated free market gives you the right solutions either. It might in some cases. I just don't know. What I see right now is I see a huge, you know, if you extrapolate these technological trends, I see huge problems. I have no freaking clue what the solution is. Now, luckily, many times, you know, the answer, you know, the thing is you can't extrapolate technology because it moves and fits and starts and moves in unpredictable directions. And these things do tend to, you know, people always predict disaster and the disaster never seems to come. So I certainly hope that's the case here. And, you know, we get something a lot closer to, hey, you know, lots of people being able to be a lot better off while working less. That sounds awesome to me. You know,
We're all for it.
But we do have to be careful that we don't end up in a scenario where the technology just puts more and more and more and more people out of work. Those people don't have a way to make a living. Those become a permanent underclass and you just build up all these tensions that we were talking about and end up in a really bad situation. You just have to be, I don't know the way to avoid that, but it's just something you have to be cognizant of and worry about.
And we have to worry about it and we have to figure out ways of how to deal with it. Yeah. That's reality. So,
like, because I certainly don't want to stand in the way of this. I want the fully automated fast food restaurant. I want the drone delivery. It kind of sounds cool. I want the automated cars. I want the shipping network to be whatever, you know. Whenever there's a way that a machine can do something, why would we bother having a human doing it?
I mean,
the human
could
be doing something better for them. Like, you know, if you take the paycheck out of the equation, I mean, how many blue collar workers really want to be sitting there riveting things together all day?
Actually, there's a lot of them that do like it.
I'm not saying it can't be enjoyable to some degree, and some people might not like it. I bet you in most cases, most of them, like, at the very least, they could be riveting their own damn thing instead of sitting
true,
on a
true, line. Agreed. I agree with that. Yes. They would rather be building something, you know, fun for themselves or building something that for friends or something or whatever, instead of, like, doing some rote work
there's a difference between having fun building a playground in your backyard for your kid than being on an assembly line building 500 of them a day.
I agree. Okay. All right. Well,
I think we're done.
We're done. We're out.
Okay. Thank you, everybody, for joining us. As usual, email me at abelsmay@abelsmay.com or reach us on Twitter. I'm at abelsmay. Yvonne is at imbo. You know, tell your friends, tweet, blah, blah, blah.
Tweet, tweet, share. Tweet, 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 tweet.
All that kind of stuff. And maybe there'll be other new news for us to talk about next week. In the meantime, everybody have a good week. I hope you had a good Thanksgiving holiday if you celebrate that. If you don't, I hope you had a good week anyway. And happy Hanukkah to those of you who celebrate that as well.
Yes.
Next time the Thanksgiving and Hanukkah will be at the same time is like another 70,000 years or so.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because I was just thinking about that all of a sudden Thanksgiving and Hanukkah were at the same time. Like, what the hell? I never had it. And so, wow, I did not realize
it hasn't been 70,000 since last time. There was one within our lifetimes, but it'll be 70,000 till the next one. And actually, I will go out on a limb here, and you can check me on this in 70,000 years. But I predict in 70,000 years, nobody will be celebrating either Hanukkah or Thanksgiving.
I'd be with you on that, maybe. I mean, who knows?
Who knows? I mean,
Listen, I had somebody forecast a deal.
I mean, think about what humans were doing 70,000 years ago. It was before all of recorded history.
I'm with you. Listen, but let me give the other day somebody at my office, we use Salesforce.com in our office to forecast things. So they forecasted something to me for the year like 2459. Now, the one thing that I'm surprised is that the system did accept a date set out in 2459.
Yes.
Okay. But yet, let alone, I get on the phone with a guy and I'm like, dude, really? Dear, think about this. 430 years from now. Yeah. I don't think that we'll be doing any of this shit 430 years from now.
But okay? As I said, you know, call me up 70,000 years from now. And
let me know.
If I'm wrong, you know, you can call me on it.
All right. Sounds good. All right. We're done.
Thanks, everybody. We're out of here. Goodbye. Say goodbye again. Because we said
bye-bye. Bye-bye. Sayonara.
There you go. Bye.